The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Our guest on this segment of the Small Biz Brain is an internationally renowned author, speaker, and consultant who applies the principles and practices described in his best-selling books to help solve many of the small business challenges we all encounter. Author Michael J. Gelb has recently co-authored a book entitled Innovate Like Edison, The Success System of America's Greatest Inventor. We're talking, of course, about the great Thomas Alva Edison. Co-authored with Sarah Miller Caldicott, who is, in fact, the grandniece of Thomas Edison, this new book offers practical insights into the methods of America's supreme inventor. Joining us on the line is Michael J. Gelb, co-author of Innovate Like Edison. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us on The Brain. You know, I think when many of us think of Thomas Edison, we instantly have this vision of the light bulb. But there's so much more to the man, this supreme master of innovation. What made Edison, Edison?
Gosh, well, that's, you know, what made Da Vinci, Da Vinci? What made Queen Elizabeth I, Elizabeth I? I mean, part of it is the zeitgeist, the spirit of the time, and the need for, in the case of Jefferson, the Declaration of Independence, in the case of Da Vinci, the need for the balance of art and science and the representation of human possibility, in the case of Elizabeth I, the need for the balance of masculine and feminine elements and power. And in the case of Thomas Edison, well, the world needed light. The world needed recorded sound. The world needed moving pictures. So it just happened that this particular character was the perfect character to invent all those things. And the real genius of Edison goes beyond any of those innovations, as you suggest, because beyond just inventing the light bulb, he invented the whole system for lighting the world. And beyond just inventing the phonograph, he invented the whole system for the modern recording industry. And he did the same thing with the moving picture, with movies. But his greatest invention is the system for innovation. Edison came up with a systematic approach to innovating. He called it an invention factory. And he gave birth to the modern notion of research and development, and that idea has launched all the great innovations of our contemporary time.
In your view, can a business owner learn to think like an innovator? I'll hesitate to say think like Edison, but can we learn innovation? And how do we do that? And how do you help people do that?
Well, the answer is absolutely yes.
Thank
we
goodness.
We can and we must. And you know, when it comes to using all your human potential and being a balanced, creative person, there's no better role model than Leonardo da Vinci. But when it comes to running an innovative business to practical accomplishment and achievement, there's no better role model than Thomas Edison. And my co-author, Sarah Miller Caldicott, and I probed into Edison's methods. We read through his notebooks. We were very lucky to have Dr. Paul Israel of the Edison Papers Project as our academic advisor. We went through Edison's work, all the interviews that he gave, the specific notes that he made about his method, and we said, okay, how can we adapt his method to modern business challenges? And the answers were really very clear. As a matter of fact, the competencies that we describe in the book are the ones that we applied in the project of writing the book.
I love
it. So we know it works.
It's holographic. And yes. I thought it might be interesting to just kind of walk through some of these, if you don't mind. Solution-centered mindset.
Right. Well, that's the first competency for innovating like Edison. And there's a logic and a progression to the competencies, and there's a reason that the solution-centered mindset comes first, because it makes all the other ones possible. And Edison is the supreme example of practical, optimistic, get-her-done a solution orientation. And he was, his ability to focus on getting a positive result, even at the same time while cultivating this rigorous objectivity. It's a rare balance. Some people are highly optimistic, but they ignore the challenges in front of them, and they get snagged by unexpected difficulties. Mm-hmm. Other people are so focused on the difficulties that they can't see the big picture, and they have trouble creating a positive, optimistic vision and making it come true. But Edison was able to balance the big picture optimism with tremendously powerful discipline, rigorous objectivity in assessing any given piece of specific data. And that is just one aspect of a solution-centered mindset that makes for an absolutely unstoppable innovation, at least the beginning of innovation, in for an individual or for an organization.
I love that. Kaleidoscopic thinking, what is that?
Well, Edison's attorney said in an interview that Edison's brain works like a kaleidoscope. He turns it this way and that, and ideas come flowing out, most of which are patentable. And Edison himself described his mind as a kaleidoscope. He was able to work on many, many projects. He said, if you want to get a good idea, get a lot of ideas. So we probed into, okay, what were his actual methods for getting a lot of ideas? What were his strategies? How did he do it? How did he get his people to do it? How was he able to just come up with so many different, amazingly creative and ultimately really practical ideas?
Right.
And we don't just write about this and say, oh, wasn't Edison great? We help our readers step by step figure out how they can do the same thing in their business planning now.
Fantastic. Okay, so moving along. Full spectrum engagement.
This refers to the internal, finding the inner balance when you are being so tremendously productive. At the height of the Light the World project, Edison was working on 40 different sub-projects that made up that overall attempt to illuminate the entire world. No small goal.
Does that mean that he had...
At the same time,
yeah, I was just going to ask, does that mean on his property there, he had teams set up or individuals set up to work on different aspects here? This system, here's how you insulate the wire, DC versus AC, whatever it was. Okay.
Yes, and he coordinated all of it and was engaged in all of them and worked with unbelievable intensity. Yet at the same time, he had a phenomenal ability to shift into relaxation. He was incredibly serious, but he was also playful, funny, had a great sense of humor, and loved to laugh. He was dealing with unbelievable complexity, but he had a gift for making it all simple when it came time to give instructions to his teams.
Wow.
So this ability to balance these seemingly opposite poles is what we call full-spectrum engagement. Edison had very distinct strategies. I mean, the most famous, of course, is that he'd actually, in the middle of the day, he'd just curl up on his desk in the workplace and take a 20-minute nap.
Right. I've
and his
heard
workers
about
said
it.
That when he woke up from the nap, he was always that much more productive and that much more focused. So we looked at how did Edison balance complexity with simplicity, intensity with relaxation, seriousness with playfulness, solitude, time on his own with interaction with his team, privacy and the need to protect his ideas with his wish to share them with the wider world. How did he manage to move so fluidly and easily between these different aspects of the full spectrum? So we call it full spectrum engagement.
We just need a timeout. This is very inspiring. Unbelievable. And by the way, we're visiting with Michael J. Gelbies, the author of Innovate Like Edison, a book that he co-authored with Sarah Miller Caldicott, who in fact is the grandniece of Thomas Edison. Fascinating reading. All right, so moving along, if we can, mastermind collaboration sort of sounds like what it might mean, but what does it really
mean? It does. It is what it sounds like. The term mastermind was popularized by success expert Napoleon Hill, who wrote the classic Think and Grow Rich.
Right.
And of course, Napoleon Hill interviewed a number of the most successful people, the greatest achievers that he could find, among them Thomas Edison.
That's right. That's right.
And the whole notion of mastermind collaboration comes from what Edison was able to do in his laboratories. He assembled teams of people with diverse backgrounds, and he brought them together so that the sum of the parts was just greater than what would be apparent.
Mm-hmm.
He created that kind of team magic, bringing out the best in everybody, helping people do much more than they thought they were capable of. And he had a very clear approach to doing this, and it's, again, even more relevant today. The other thing to say is that the first three competencies set the stage for the last two.
I see.
If you have a solution-centered mindset, if you learn to generate lots of ideas, be a kaleidoscopic thinker, mm-hmm. if you learn to balance your energy through full-spectrum engagement, then you share those competencies in a team framework, and you apply Edison's strategies for recruiting and hiring, for creating an open environment, and you start to get magic.
It sounds like he was a superb manager of human beings in collaboration.
People loved, there's always a few cases of people who are disgruntled and unhappy, and, sure. and they've gotten a lot of press over the years, but the truth is, Edison's people loved him. They mm-hmm. knew he was a genius. They thought it was a chance of a lifetime to be around him. He was... Working for Edison was like the opportunity to work for a combination of Bill Gates and Steve Jobs rolled into one.
It's unimaginable. yeah. Now, super value creation and sort of summing up the five disciplines.
Well, this is what it's all about. Ultimately, the fifth competency is what drives the success of your business. Everybody, small businesses, big businesses, individual professionals, we're all engaged in creating value for someone. That's why somebody ultimately pays you. You create value. So why super value? Well, Edison was focused on being so outstanding in his marketplace. Super means above or beyond, and he wanted to create value above and beyond his competitors. And he succeeded in a way that's stunning. And we have examples in the book of the power of the Edison brand. It was so great that even when somebody else came up with a useful invention that seemed to be a technological advance over something that Edison had created,
mm-hmm.
they had trouble selling it because the marketplace said, we'll wait for the Edison. We know he's going to come up with something even better. And the thing you have to understand about Edison's super value creation approach is this was before there were marketing departments in companies. This was before there was even the concept of branding. Mm-hmm. And he was an amazing pioneer. And again, we figured out, what did he do specifically? What were the elements of super value creation that he applied? And then we adapted them to contemporary business challenges. And we try to make them practical and doable for our readers.
It's much like taking what Johann Sebastian Bach was able to improvise, or Charlie Parker was able to improvise, and then writing it down so the rest of us could figure out how they were moving through chords and changes in melodies. I mean, the process you went through is what I'm describing there. It's astounding and so beautiful. What surprised you from the notebooks? Did anything just amaze you? Well, it's all amazing, but can you point to anything that really was surprising?
Well, I went to the Edison Papers Project and I met with Dr. Israel, and he took me through the original Edison notes. So I wasn't just reading the notes that
notes are, about the notes
recorded and written in books and so on. I was looking at and actually got to hold in my hands the actual pieces of paper that Edison kept his notes on. I mean, these are the real notebooks of Thomas Edison.
How are they preserving these?
Well, you know, they're in a lot of different ways, but that's part of what the project is doing is they are putting every single note of Edison, they are copying it and archiving it and cataloging it.
Sure, sure.
And that there's an enormous amount. But part of what surprised me, and I just thought was incredibly cool, was just how distinctive and focused his handwriting is and how playful and childlike his drawings are. Now, I wasn't too surprised because having studied Leonardo da Vinci's notebooks in depth, I actually wasn't too surprised to find out that there was a kind of resonance between Edison's process and da Vinci's. They're quite distinctive and different, of course, and they were focused on different things because da Vinci was focused more on pure truth, beauty, and goodness, whereas Edison was trying to translate truth, beauty, and goodness into super value creation in order to make a buck.
Right, right. It was sort of, it had a more of a business
But you know, the great thing about Edison, too, is that he was not, even though he was very successful financially and he was clearly profit-oriented, for him, the process of doing what he did was by far the greater reward than the financial gain. And he says so over and over again in the notebooks. He loved the process of invention and then translating the process of invention into innovation. In other words, linking those inventions to markets, to people that he could create sustainable, profitable value.
Which is the thing we're really all looking to do in our businesses, or many of us are looking to do. If Edison lived today, I mean, you remarked that it was, when I asked what made Edison Edison, a lot of it was the convergence of his existence during a certain time. But if Edison lived right now, what would that look like?
Well, if Edison lived right now, there would be, just as we have these tremendous pioneers and leaders in high tech now. I mean, Peter Drucker said of Edison that he's the archetype for every high-tech entrepreneur. So he would no doubt be creating some phenomenal, innovative, high-tech, probably focused on computers and communications technology, since that was his original interest.
Hmm.
He was originally a telegrapher, and he started inventing because he saw ways to improve the telegraph. And in Edison's time, telegraphy was the magnet for high-tech entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
So if he was growing up in the last 30 or 40 years, he would have headed straight out to Silicon Valley and figured out some way to improve the technology and take it all to another level.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, I actually get to teach Edison's ideas to the people at Microsoft.
Oh my gosh. What a great gig. Now, tell us a little bit about, I wanted to find out a little bit more about your activities outside of authoring these incredible books about amazing people. What else are you doing and how can we find out about it?
Well, the best thing is just for people to go to my website, which is michaelgelb.com. That's michaelgelb.com, and G-E-L-B. And they can go to the programs page and look at all the different seminars that I do. I've written 11 books. This is my 11th. And I have seminars that go with each one. And I've been leading these seminars for small businesses, big businesses, professional associations. I recently came back from teaching 350 Barbie doll designers how to think like Leonardo da Vinci. And then I shared Innovate Like Edison with 2,200 chiropractors at World in Orlando. And then I stopped at an engineering company, also in Winter Park, Florida, and spent an hour and a half with them on the principles for innovating like Edison. So I've met people from all walks of life, all over the world. I've been doing this for the last 30 years, and bringing the wisdom of the greatest geniuses who ever lived to help people solve their most important business problems and as a bonus, help them live a more fulfilling and happy life.
Fantastic. The book is Innovate Like Edison, The Success System of America's Greatest Inventor. We've been speaking with Michael J. Gelb, author, co-author of that book. Oh, by the way, we're here in late November of 07 or mid-November. Has the book been released?
It just came out at the end of October. It was featured in USA Today and Forbes Small Business Magazine, and it was the number one innovation book on Amazon recently, and hopefully it will stay there.
Fantastic. And it's available here on smallbizamerica.com right under this post where you're listening now. Thank you so much, Michael, for your time and sharing this amazing experience that you've been through, and I hope we can do it again soon.
I hope so. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
This podcast is produced by Small Biz America. If you'd like to find out about hosting your own podcast, visit us at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.